It wasn't easy being the child of a genius inventor. There was the rooting through trash bins to find scrap metal, the misplaced wrenches winding up under your pillow, the constant cleaning of spilled pickle juice. But the job certainly had its perks, too, such as front row seats to the moment your mother changed the world. For newly 12-year-old Molly Pepper, that last bit was going to happen in exactly 8 days. And everything she'd sacrificed would finally pay off. 1 week from tomorrow, the World's Fair would open its gates, and Cassandra Pepper would present her Icarus Chariot, the very first personal flying machine, to the public. 100,000 people would crane their necks to see Molly and Cassandra soar among the clouds overhead. The crowd would be so awestruck, they'd need medical assistance just to get their jaws shut again. And Cassandra could, no doubt, invent a mechanical mandible clamper to do just that. Molly wished she could have been there for the Icarus Chariot's maiden flight, but for the sake of secrecy, her mother had insisted upon a late-night test, and after a long day of sanding boards and fetching tools, Molly had dozed off before the big moment. She only learned of her mother's historic achievement when Cassandra woke her up yelling, "Molls! Molls! Guess what? Mr. Tortellini has a chicken living in his apartment upstairs! Oh, and the Icarus Chariot works. That's how I saw into Mr. Tortellini's apartment!" There was no way Molly was going to miss it tomorrow, though, when her mother demonstrated her flying machine before the World's Fair Planning and Preparatory Committee. Until then, her main focus was putting finishing touches on the Icarus Chariot. The vehicle might have been ready to take to the air, but it was not ready to take to the fair. To put it bluntly, it looked like trash, which was mostly what it was made from. The Peppers didn't have piles of cash to spend on building supplies, so all of Cassandra's creations were constructed from secondhand parts. Cassandra never fretted about how her inventions looked. "If it works, it works," she'd say. And while Molly agreed in theory, she was also savvy enough to know that a sleek, freshly painted flying machine would earn more admirers than a mildewed, splintery one with anchovy labels still stuck to its rudder. It was to that end that the Peppers began clearing space in Cassandra's workshop, which also happened to be a pickle store. For the most part, Pepper's Pickles looked like any of the other specialty food establishments along the bustling thoroughfare that was Thompson Street. Upon entering, customers would see barrels of fermenting cucumbers and a wooden counter stacked with murky jars of dill spears. They would smell a tang in the air from the canisters of salt and flasks of vinegar crammed onto shelves. But few took note of the tall folding screen that protected the rear half of the store from prying eyes. If a customer were to peek behind that screen, however, which none did without feeling the sting of a shot from Molly's thimble cannon, they would see a long work table littered with springs, screws, bolts, gears, and tools of every type. And they'd see two thin beds, a stovetop, and a clothesline drooping with damp bloomers. Because the Peppers also lived in their pickle shop. Most of Cassandra's inventions, like the self-propelled mop, the quick-crank corn decobber, and the astounding automated secretary, to name a few, were small enough to stow under and among the furniture. The Icarus Chariot, however, was her greatest work in more ways than one. It didn't fit behind the screen. Normally, they stored it in pieces, but in order to assemble it for painting, varnishing, and, if Molly had her way, a little glittering, they would need use of the full store space. Cassandra bolted the door and began moving heavy jars of garlic dills from the counter to the floor. "As long as the pickles are safely behind the counter," she assured her daughter, "I think we can avoid another incident." "Good thinking," Molly said.